irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, as Jen and I are back on the air.
Yes, happy St. Patty's Day.
Oh, yeah, it is today, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, happy St. Patty's Day, then.
Also, shout out to my mom. It's her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mommy.
We won't ask how old she is. It's not very polite.
She appreciates that, probably.
Is she having a hard time aging, or is she okay with it?
My mom is so young at heart. It really helps that she's very mobile. She's more mobile than most of her friends her age.
Yeah.
I think where she kind of struggles sometimes is working in a hospital and having to sit with patients that are her age that are not doing so well.
Yeah.
I think that's tough for her.
Right. Yeah. Wow. But that sucks, man.
But she's
so
in
she's
great
still
condition.
Working. She still works.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, she loves it.
Really?
Yeah.
How can you love working in a hospital? I never understood that. You know,
some people just have the calling to help people like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah.
I almost went to nursing school. You know, I was doing prerequisites for nursing in college, and my mom was like, "You know, you actually don't want to do this, right?" She was like, "I know you. You don't want to wipe." White butts.
Yeah. I mean, what is that?
Yeah. I definitely don't. So
I know that's gross. But you know, I do salute the people who do that, because otherwise who else would do it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good that some people, and they actually like it too.
Oh yeah.
They love their jobs, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they love that part, but there's...
Well, not necessarily, but yeah.
There's a lot of other parts they like, yeah.
Yeah, which I can't imagine what it would be. There's nothing much to like about a sick person and taking care of them.
I know. I think it's the hustle of the emergency.
You think so?
Yeah, it's the hustle of the emergency that people really like. Mm.
You know, there's this one guy on TikTok who talks about the emergency room all the time because he works there.
Mm-hmm.
And... He likes to talk about how, you know, people start behaving or expecting certain things in the emergency room. And he's like, we don't really give a fuck about how you feel, you know. And if you have to wait, you have to wait. You know, we have a lot of people we have to take care of, blah, blah, blah. But he says it's so funny that you just go, you know what? Okay. He's like, we don't need you to be here, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, people will always have a lot of complaints, but also I've heard a lot from a lot of other people who work in hospitals, too. People think it's like a hotel. They're like, yes, I would like some more food now, or like just kind of bossing the nurses and assistants around for food and this and that and the other thing. And
Yeah. I know. But emergency room is a unique place, you know, because everybody's like in a rush, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who to go to first. And it's normal to sit and wait there for a long time.
Yeah.
You know.
I've definitely waited my fair share of hours in emergency rooms before.
Right. And, you know, I mean, people have to understand that the people that work there know the priorities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not dying, they're not coming to you first.
Yeah.
They're going to someone else.
Exactly.
I remember when I went in for my stroke, it's like the moment they brought me in, they're like, code stroke, whatever they announced, and like 10 people came.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah.
You know, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
They certainly do.
Yeah. So then he was talking about vaping, how people think vaping is better than smoking and everything. Or some people are saying vaping is good for you or like not as bad. And he starts making fun of that. So I can't remember his name, but he always appears on my
I don't know about vaping being good for you.
I know, right?
I mean, there's lots of evidence of popcorn lung and things like that.
It's not, and it's not even better than cigarettes. It's shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's all shit.
It's like a weird flavored liquid that you're inhaling that sounds right. So much better for you, right?
Right. I
not
know.
At all.
They think if it's not smoke, it's okay, but nah.
No, it's still... You know?
And I'm so glad I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But the weed makes me cough, you know, so.
Definitely.
You know, so that's not good for you either. But you smoke a lot less than you smoke cigarettes, you know. So it's true. I'm glad I'm over that. The funny thing is that I don't have craving at all, but I sometimes think, it would be nice to have a cigarette right now.
Yeah. You know. Definitely. I mean, I even have those moments and I'm not a smoker.
Really? You have those moments?
Yeah. I'm like, a cigarette would be lovely right now.
Have you ever smoked before?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've smoked. Oh, okay. I haven't been like a smoker, but.
But you smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, I've smoked cigarettes, especially.
So
when
you
I
know
drink.
What it felt like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, when you drink.
When I drink, yeah, that's I could tank a whole pack when I drink. Yeah. It's the worst.
You know, I went up north to visit my friends this weekend.
Yes, tell us about it.
And so they both smoke cigarettes, right?
Mm.
And it kills me. I mean, it's like the I don't know how people can breathe this shit. How did I do this all this time? You know, and secondhand smoke is just as bad. You know, it smells like shit. It goes in your nose and your lungs, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, here you are coughing just thinking about it. But yeah, you know, so I'm glad I'm over it. And because I smoked for years, you know.
I know it's tough. Sometimes when I smell secondhand smoke, I'm like, how could I ever want to smoke a cigarette?
Yeah.
And then I'll see someone pull a fresh one out of a pack and I'm like, ooh. Like, what is that?
That's funny.
What is that? You know, like something about smoking, it doesn't seem like when you're actually smoking it, the smoke doesn't bother you at all.
Right. Exactly. You know? You don't smell it.
Right. Yeah. But when someone else is smoking, you're like, ugh.
Right. Exactly.
So you're like walking by like.
I know. And you know, and like. Every time before you get into the car, my friend smokes like I used to also, you know, every chance you get, you smoke, right?
Yeah.
So then he puts out a cigarette. We go back in. I'm like, you smell like a fucking ashtray, man. And it's so strong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because my kids told me after I quit smoking, they're like, well, we finally can smell. You finally smell nice when you hug us and kiss us and stuff, you know, because.
Aww.
Yeah, because they always smelled smoke on me.
Yeah.
So that's
so nice.
Terrible, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's benefits to quitting smoking.
For sure.
In a few minutes, we're gonna have a guest calling in who forgot to call the previous time. I don't know if he forgot, but something happened, and he's gonna call back. He's an author, wrote a pretty cool book, Relevant, and we're gonna talk about that. Also, so I started telling you, I went up north to see my friends. That's like outside of San Francisco. It's called a place called Lafayette, which is like near a more famous place called Walnut Creek. Not many people know that one, but it's bigger than Lafayette.
So you drove up past San Fran.
It's not past, but this is exactly like east of San Francisco.
Okay.
So
how far of a drive is it?
5 hours.
Okay.
5 hours exactly.
Terrible, not amazing.
Yeah, not amazing, you know. Yeah. But I came back yesterday. It wasn't as bad as going up there. I don't know why, but it just went by faster. I think usually the way back is always faster. I don't know why.
It seems that way
like,
sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
So so that was that, and we had fun. Most of the time we spend, you know, they work at home. They have a radio station, a remote station, and they work at home. So most of the time we're there, you know. And,
yeah.
But at least, you know, they have an outside yard and stuff.
Is
so
this I'm the twins?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not like inside the house. But for the most part, we didn't do much as far as activities. We did go out Saturday night. To a restaurant, which was nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, they hadn't opened up inside yet, but outside was nice. I can't tell you how many people were out waiting, you know, waiting their turn to sit down, you know.
Yeah.
People are dying to go out. And
things really opened back up here this week.
Right, yeah. We went last night to dinner. It was nice, you know. So things are starting to open up gyms and things like that. So that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, and the vaccine's more available.
Right. So let's hope, you know, we're putting this behind us. I don't know. You know, I mean, on the one hand, I'm thinking, oh, the guest is calling in already. Well, we might as well take it, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hang
bring
up
our
them.
Notes. No, we're definitely not. Good morning. This is Sam and Jen. You're on the air. Go
Hello.
Ahead. Hello.
Hi, it's Doug Wood.
Yes,
Hi,
Doug. Good morning. How are you? We're waiting for your call. Thank you for calling. Where are you calling
Thank
us
you
from?
Me.
Of course. Where are you calling us from this morning?
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Oh, wow. Cool. How's the weather there? Is it pretty cold?
It's very, very temperate. It's in the 60s. It's nice.
Oh,
no, it's warmer than it is here.
I used to live in New Jersey and moved down here a year ago, and I do not miss New Jersey weather.
Oh, man. What part of Jersey?
North Jersey, Bergen County.
Okay.
I commuted to New York City for 40 years.
Gotcha. I'm from South Jersey, so. Yeah, always she's from, ask. Okay. Yeah.
The general, same general area.
What's that?
You're a Jersey girl.
I am a Jersey girl.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, we woke up with 39 degrees outside. I got to tell you, man. This is crazy. Yeah, we're not used to this kind of cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
Know? Yeah. The sky's clear.
Yeah,
but
very cold for there.
Yeah.
The sun does always feel warm, though.
Right. The sun comes out, but it's very cold.
Mm.
So, yeah. Well, Doug, so you called us about your new thriller called Dragon on the Far Side of the Moon. So this is a novel. It's not nonfiction or anything, but it's relevant to a lot of things that are real things that are happening in the world. So tell us, give us a little bit of a synopsis of what the story is about.
Yeah, what I try to do in my novels is take a look at what reality is in the marketplace today, in the world today, and then craft it into some plausible fiction looking into the future. In the case of Dragon on the Far Side of the Moon, I posit that the idea that China, who is actively involved in the new space race we're in today, colonizes the moon for military purposes, or allegedly military purposes, and the United States has to react. It's akin to sort of think of the Bay of Pigs on the moon, right, and the space race of the era when Russia and the United States were going toe-to-toe in the space race and the tensions and the difficulties that created between the two countries. In Dragon on the Far Side of the Moon, like today, China is probably ahead of us in today's space race.
Wow.
They've landed on 3 times on the moon in the last 10 years. We haven't landed at all since the 70s.
Really?
They've brought back samples. We haven't done so since the 70s.
Yeah.
They've got an orbiter around Mars just as we do. Our orbiter around Mars landed the other last month and has been spectacular. The Chinese have one landing on Mars in the next couple of months. So they are also investing billions of dollars in their space race and have made it very clear that they want to be the leader in interstellar transportation and exploration, where the United States talks about it, and we talk about it a great deal, but we haven't funded it to the extent that it is necessary to keep a pace with the Chinese. And the most recent appropriation was a little under $1 billion for projects that NASA estimates will cost $3 billion.
Yeah, that does
obviously
sound
we have
like
a lot
that.
Of priorities we need to consider, and we can't just be spendthrifts. But on the other hand, we are certainly not as focused on the space race today as China is, much like we were at a disadvantage with Russia back in the 60s. So it's deja vu all over again. And so my latest novel takes that a step further and says, well, okay, if we lose this space race, what might it look like?
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Sounds pretty scary to me.
Yeah.
Now, I know that a lot of people are doubting that we need a space program and things like that. But from what you're saying, I mean, we have no choice. If we want to defend ourselves, we have to react, if nothing else, to what the Chinese are doing. Now, I wanted to ask you, you said they're colonizing it for military purposes. What would they be able to do with a colony on the moon as far as war and things like that?
Well, there's a number of, I mean, again, this is now fiction that I talk about some of this in the novel. But if you've got a military base on the far side of the moon, which means it's the side of the moon that we never see from Earth, so it's very difficult to monitor what goes on there, absent satellites that are orbiting the moon, which they could easily shoot down. If they were being surveilled by those kinds of satellites. In addition to launch rockets and missiles or whatever from the moon to intercept any interstellar travel that we might decide to do to Mars or elsewhere would be relatively easy from the moon. It's like having the gate you know, to the stars that they could theoretically control.
Right.
In addition, we do know that there is water on the moon, and from water you can extract hydrogen and oxygen and create fuels and other things, as well as the presence of very rare earth minerals and strategic metals are on the moon. A lot of people don't realize that upwards of 80% of the rare earth minerals and strategic metals today are owned or controlled by China. So if and that's every single silicon chip that you buy in your computer has rare earth metals that come from China. That is sort of the hidden power into the future of communication. So if they were to control, they already control the majority of it on Earth. If they then also control the majority of what's present on the moon and shuttle it back and forth and actually mined the moon, then you can see where, from a strategic standpoint, there's lots of reasons why the United States cannot allow China to be in control of that. And interestingly, one of the fascinating things is, if you're a buff of history, some people who were in the space race, some recall John F. Kennedy's speech back in the 60s where he said we were going to put a man on the moon before the end of the decade. It was very inspirational. A part of that speech is very rarely quoted, and it's a part of that speech that says we need to do this to prevent space from becoming a military battlefield rather than an exploratory benefit for mankind. Mm. So he saw this back in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've seen plenty, and I don't mean to bash on China. It's not my editorial slant, but but clearly we've seen where trusting them and is a bit of a challenge.
Right. No, quite frankly, I think like with COVID now, a lot of people have woken up to the fact that we need to watch China. You know, I remember when, you're talking about Kennedy, and at the time, I'm sure he was directing this more at Russia, at the Soviet Union at the time.
But.
Right, than China. But I think the threat is probably even greater now. The technology has improved so much, and the China has grown so strong that now they're really the big threat to the world, to the West at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the irony of that is that much of China's advances in technology were the result of piracy of our technology.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a lesson in international diplomacy and relations and trusting or not trusting your partners out there. It didn't help also, I will say, it didn't help years ago when NASA was, Congress passed a regulation that prohibited NASA from working with the Chinese on anything in space.
Right.
So we sort of charted the path where we had to go down different roads together, and Russia didn't have that prohibition. That's why we were able to work with them on the International Space Station.
Right.
That's all well and good, but I don't know how many people noticed this. 2 weeks ago in the press, Russia and China announced that they are now going to work together to colonize the moon.
Wow.
And that basically Russia is saying sayonara to working with the United States on that, largely because the International Space Station is scheduled to be decommissioned in 3 to 4 years, and China is launching its own space stations this year. So it looks as though there's an alliance brewing between Russia and China to exploit space, and that they are leaving us on our own path.
Right.
So all of that adds up to some very disconcerting issues with respect to space and protecting our own strategic interests.
Right.
That's what that novel's about.
And
it
paints
the picture where if we don't do something, this could happen.
Right. Now, I find it curious that we have not managed the space station yet. After all these years, the Russians managed, but not us.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, that's basically, I think it's more of a historical anomaly than anything else. We obviously are present on it as much as the Russians are, and we've learned quite a bit from it. For a long time, keep in mind, a long time, we didn't have the ability to even bring anything to the space station. All the astronauts that occupied it were launched out of Russia. I mean, we kind of just defaulted to them in the management of the space station. So again, there's an example of where all the when I was a teenager, space was in the front pages every day with the heroes we had and all the landings on the moon and all the drama that had surrounded that. Today, it's kind of passé. Even during the space shuttle years, until there was a disaster, most people didn't even know if a space shuttle was going up. So, so we've kind of fallen asleep. And in the meantime, China in particular has made huge advances.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize they put 12 people into space. They've had orbiting, they call them tachonauts, but they've had people in space. They've got a space. This will be their third space station.
Wow. And nobody's talking about it.
No one talks about it.
This is the first time.
There's so much more to talk about, right? I mean, news that would have, years ago made some, at least maybe the second page, they're just relegated to no page today because there's so much other stuff that is diverting our attentions here here in the United States.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Doug, what is your background? What has attracted you to this topic? How do you know so much about it? Give us a little bit of background.
Yeah, no, I'm a lawyer by trade, an entertainment media lawyer by trade. So I've been exposed to some great creative people over my career.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had a desire to write and write fiction. So I started writing earnestly about 7 or 8 years ago. I've written 5 novels at this point. And what I do is, again, as I mentioned earlier, I try to look at what challenges we have today in reality and then weave an interesting thriller around it so that I can create what I call plausible fiction. When a reader reads one of my books, I want them to first be entertained and second to realize that these books are done with a great deal of research. If you ever read books by Clancy, who I admire a great deal and wouldn't even be presumptuous to compare myself to him, but his writing style was steeped in research.
Right.
So that you really felt that you were hearing and reading about the real facts. So when I wrote a trilogy about the first woman president of the United States, and I, for example, one part of it involves a visit to Guantanamo Bay, I spoke to 2 former commandants. I got the details on Guantanamo, and I talk about that. In the case of Dragon on the Far Side of the Moon, I spoke to rocket scientists and to folks at NASA and other places, and I did a lot of research because I want to make sure if you can have plausible fiction, you've got to base it on fact and then take your fictional spin from there. So it's been a year. I've been 40 years in the entertainment business, and it's just been a passion of mine to A, research, and B, tell stories.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. Between all the lawyering that you're doing to be able to write so many books, So, the book is Dragon on the Far Side of the Moon, and by Douglas Wood. I'm sure you can find it anywhere books are sold. And this was just published, right? Recently?
Oh, yeah. No, it's Amazon, bookstores, wherever you can buy a book.
Amazing. And if people want to see more of you, do you have any website, social media, anything like that?
Yeah, and if you go to douglasjwood.com, that's my website.
Okay.
And then I have my Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, all those things. I'm out there. I blog. I also do a lot of blogs on space and things like that. You can find all those on my website. So I call the blogs things you should know but don't.
Right.
I talk about social media. I talk about various things as well that are just not making the news that are the grist of my novels.
Right. Now, in your opinion, finally, before we end, do you think in your mind that we're going to be able to catch up with the Chinese, or are they forever ahead of us at this point?
We can, but I think we're going to have to probably be shocked into it like we were with the Russians.
Right.
I think that, we just don't, as a nation, similar to the way we were in the 60s, We didn't feel the priority of space was as important as it became until Russia beat us to the first. Yuri Gagarin was the first to orbit the Earth. If and when not if, when the Chinese land on the moon, if, particularly if they do it in partnership with the Russians, and they do that before we do, and right now that will happen based upon timetables and predictions, that will be the shock that will wake us up and hopefully let us recreate what we did in the 60s, the kind of passion and commitment to catch up and win.
Right.
Otherwise, you've got an awful lot to lose.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a scary thing to think about.
Yeah, as competitive as we are, I'm surprised we're not.
Yeah, it's because in our society, we're not paranoid like the communists are, you know, which I think that's probably one of the reasons, you know, we don't think about these things even.
Yeah, but we also like to be at the top of our game. And
right.
It's just that's surprising.
True. Yeah, but it's probably more red tape here to get anything done, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And we're probably over dependent upon the private sector. You see quite often the successful launches from SpaceX and Blue Origin, and you read about the efforts by Virgin Galactic to get into space and stuff, but none of them have anywhere near the capability of reaching the moon.
Right.
The only organization that might here, if they invest enough money, get to the moon is NASA with their Artemis program. But again, that's being funded poorly, and its timetables are constantly being pushed back. The timetable was originally a person somebody on the moon by 2024. It's now, I believe, 2028. And we all know that 2028 will probably become 2032. And by then, China and Russia will have a moon base.
Oh, wow. Well, Douglas, thank you so much for enlightening us this morning. It's obviously not the most positive thing to think about, but at the same time, a great plot for
we do win in the end of my novel. Though, so okay. I do have a good ending.
That's good.
Excellent.
That's a great reason to read the book. Douglas Wood, thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us this morning,
time.
And all the best to you. Congratulations
you
on the book,
me.
Of course.
Take care.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye-bye now.
You know what I miss? I miss when the guests would come in and bring us a nice copy, a fresh copy of the book.
Right.
And they'd sign it.
Right.
And give it to you, and now you have like a fresh new book.
Right. And,
yeah.
And we take pictures and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually I started telling you that now that they're opening up and everything, I'm hoping to open up the station again, the physical studio,
okay,
you know.
Cool.
But and then you have Fauci telling us that we might have to revert back to lockdown because we're opening up now. So what am I going to do then? Close it again?
Yeah. You know, so I would give it some time.
Yeah. So it's like it's very stressful for me, you know, because you don't know what's going to happen, you know. And,
yeah.
And the thing is that it's hurt the economy, it's hurt businesses, and we all want to get back to work, you know.
I know.
And
I would just try not to stress as much as possible. Just let it go for a couple months while the vaccine's rolling out, while things are opening back up. Just take it casual, take it calm, and just see how things go over the next couple of months, and then make your decision.
That's true, yeah.
You know, rather than just being all teeth gritted over the next couple of months, like, should I do it now? Should I not just?
And besides, you know, you want to make sure that people would feel confident coming in.
Exactly.
Because otherwise it's for nothing, you know?
Yeah. And you don't know who's getting vaccinated and who in the studio is working that's not vaccinated, and people have no masks on, and there's just a lot of odds and ends that people are going to be thinking about.
That's right, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But at least maybe, you know, I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, so. And I hope a lot of people do, you know, so we can all come together and actually make this work, because, you know, and that's the thing, you know, we were talking about, the other author with the COVID book that wrote the book, and, it seems like China is too much, has got too much power.
They have a lot of power,
you know? And they don't like us very much, you know.
Well, if America wants to be America, they're going to have to step up their game.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. So. But, you know, what are you going to do? Right now we're so divided in this country that we're weakened by it, you know. And that's what worries me, because when you're not united, you're not as strong as you are when you are united.
Absolutely no one's on the same page here.
Right.
Nobody's on the same page.
No,
and everyone's kind of sitting around the corner just like waiting to to fight about something.
Yeah,
whether
true.
It be either side, you know.
I know.
Like, I think there's definitely a place for radical on both sides.
Right.
I think there's a place for it because sometimes it's the radical people that are getting the word out. And I don't necessarily believe in complete passiveness either. But I think there's a middle ground between the two where people can have open and calm conversations where they're actually listening to each other, because I think that's where minds can actually be changed.
Right. And I think that should be done like with science and scholars rather than government, you know, because the government doesn't seem to be able to do it.
Right.
You know, so maybe
it should be done with very calm mediators.
Right.
You know, like America is like, it's kind of like being in really, really shitty broken home.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to be in family therapy and everyone's like forced into family therapy. And it's like a really bad therapist who's like license expired or something, you know, like it's just a mess.
Yeah.
And no one's willing to communicate, you know?
No, you know, and, I think our life, our lifestyle, our beliefs, our ideology, they're all under attack, you know, from both sides.
Both sides, yeah. Know?
And did you see the Grammys?
No.
No, I didn't. I don't watch it either.
I haven't watched anything. I just keep seeing that one Harry Styles in the leather outfit dancing video on TikTok everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Have you seen the Cardi B thing with girls shaking their asses and everything? You know her song, WAP?
Yeah. WAP. Okay.
Yeah, WAP. You know what it stands for, right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
And it's a very dirty thing, and she sings about it, and that's okay, you know, but then Pepe Le Pew is not okay, you know. So that's the kind of issues we've got here in this country.
Yeah. Why isn't Pepe Le Pew okay?
Because he chases the cats. And he's a rapist.
Okay.
That's what they're saying.
Well, rapist one's being mentality. Forceful and one is just owning what's already been given.
What do you mean?
Like, rape is forceful and then Cardi B is just kind of owning the body that she has and the fact that it sounds like macaroni and cheese.
So it's okay to... No, but I mean, there were like a lot of sexual stuff on there. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That's what I'm saying. You should check it out.
I'll check it out.
You know?
I'll check it out.
But to say that Pepe Le Pew is a rapist or forceful, I mean, it's cartoons, you know? He never gets the girl anyway, you know? So it's just...
Yeah, I think it's more the concept that no doesn't mean no.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, come on, it's cartoons again. You know, nobody takes it seriously.
You'd be surprised. Look how many school shooters take their video games seriously.
Well, yeah, people will tell you it doesn't affect them, but I know, haven't played those games, that they can affect you a great deal. But that's
same
what I'm saying,
cartoons.
But those are okay, you know? Those are okay, but the cartoons are not okay. You know, that's how society looks at
it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think either is really okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go to my grave saying that the cartoons, there's nothing wrong with them, but... You know, people are trying to look for things in everything today, you know, and canceling an entire fucking culture. I don't know, man. I can't agree with that. But
I think there's a lot of ins and outs to it.
But you can't compare like Dr. Seuss books to Cardi B singing about her private parts. You know, I mean, it's like,
well,
how can you possibly even?
Well, it's incomparable.
Right.
It's incomparable. I mean, she's just talking about having female genitalia, and she's talking about...
But is that a family thing?
No, of course it's not a family thing.
Okay, but the Grammys is during prime time.
Well, I don't think the Grammys should have had it on prime time. I think it's a specific song, and I think the award shows are for the family, and I don't necessarily think something like that should be on an award show. They did it for whatever reason, for sure, but I don't think that this song shouldn't exist. I don't necessarily think it should, but I don't think it shouldn't. I'm indifferent about the song.
Okay.
I just think she's kind of like, this is my body, da 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 da.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying like, I have a vagina and this is what it's doing versus something that's racist, which is negative. That would be saying that the female body is a negative thing when I don't think it's a negative thing.
What would be saying
to say that like WAP shouldn't exist, or that it's even comparable to something that's racist, right, or something that's misogynistic.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I'm all for freedom of speech and everything, you know, but there's a place for everything, you know?
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree that it should have been on the award show. That's for sure. Yeah. But yeah. I don't think it's comparable, right, to social issues.
Yeah. Well, okay. So at any rate, I got to tell you the story when I went up to see my friends. So I went up, we went out, and my friend brought another friend with him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tell me he was bringing anybody or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy comes with us. He's a British guy or an Irish guy. I don't know. And he supposedly, my friend thought that we would get along because this guy wrote a book about and believes that America is actually Israel. So he's comparing Hebrew, that all the English words came from Hebrew. I said, I don't think so. So then we started arguing, and he tells me, I said, where do you get all this stuff, you know? I realized I'm dealing with a kook here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, we were always taught in school that English came from Latin.
Yeah, well, yeah. But the thing is that he doesn't agree with that.
Okay.
So he's got, like, he says, no, I'm being taught by this guy who's the president of the Yeshiva University. I said, that's a pretty radical religious institution, I think, you know. Mm. I don't think anybody would take this seriously. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. I said, and he says, no, you don't know. I said, I don't know Hebrew. I said, did you ever speak with an Israeli?
Yeah, no, that's like your first language.
Yeah, no, I spoke with a lot of Jewish people. I said, but Jewish people is not the same as Israelis.
Not the same.
You know? No. They don't know Hebrew very well.
I barely know any Hebrew.
Right. I said, then you're talking about, have you ever read the Bible from cover to cover? I said, I have 3 times. You know?
Mm.
And not in a religious way, but more like in a scholarly way, you
educational,
know, to,
yeah,
right, like to understand the things,
sure,
behind it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I told him, I said, you tell me that I don't know my language. I said, I know it in and out with the grammar, with everything. It's my first language. I said, and you trying to tell me I don't know? I said, when do you get off with this? I said, now I'm offended, you know? And I kept, and he wouldn't let up at all. He constantly insisted he's right. And
what
I
was
said
his point again?
That that English is from Hebrew and America is actually Israel. You know, that descendants or whatever, you know. I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
But he's trying to explain to me.
It sounds like he misunderstood something someone told him.
Yeah, a lot of things and a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it sounds like one of those conspiracy theories, but it's not really a conspiracy. It's just a fictional thing that people don't realize.
Yeah.
You know, and he's read all these books and stuff. I said, that means nothing. You know, you're reading books of people that are on the fringe probably, and they don't know what they're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
If you tell me that this Hebrew word means this, then I don't even trust what you say anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think directly of any Hebrew words in the limited vocabulary that I do know. That,
well, we do have, like, there are some, but like hallelujah, for example, okay? And there are words that I can't think of, but sometimes when I come up with words, and you know it comes from, at least from the Bible or something, you know? And yeah, so things like that. And
I mean, certain words might make sense because, like, Christianity started basically in...
Right, from Judaism.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And exactly,
and
that's why.
Jesus was
so
Israeli.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Basically.
Well, it wasn't Israel then, but it was...
well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know. Actually,
but
they did already call it Israel, I think, at that point.
Yes, yeah, same place, though.
Right. But they're saying Jesus was Jewish, which he was.
Yeah.
You know, the Last Supper was Passover dinner, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
And but then things converged. Not converged, but diverged, actually, after that. So And that's the thing. Jesus did not start a religion. It was his followers that started the religion after him based on his ideas.
Yeah, and everyone missed his point completely.
Well, I don't know if everyone, but, you know, I think many people may have. I don't know. But there was a, divergence and people went different ways, you know.
Yeah.
The rest is history. But yeah, so... When someone argues about something they know nothing about, I don't take him seriously, you know?
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
You can't.
Yeah. So then he says, I'll send you my book. Oh, I asked him. He says, yeah, I wrote a book. I said, how many copies did you sell? Oh, none. I haven't started advertising it yet. I said, yeah. I said, so you have a book nobody read, nobody probably wants to read. And
this
tell
is a
me
book
wrote
that
a
backs
book.
Up his point.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So there you go. You know, I said, yeah. I said that none of the words you're saying sound like Hebrew. You don't even know how to pronounce the words.
That's the best part.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's an example and of people that are weird. People that are weird.
Yeah, definitely has misunderstood a few things.
Yeah. Just quite a few. But, and then I asked my friend, I said, you really thought we would get along? And he says, well, you know, Hebrew, English, I thought you would get into it. I said, well, maybe if it was an intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
But with this guy's trying to teach me some stuff on the fringe, I'm not quite into it.
Makes me kind of want to read the book.
No,
are
you
going to read it?
No, I'm not even asking for a copy.
You should read it just to...
But he's probably talking about what he already told me, you know, so...
It's yeah, like... but you can just, like, make notes in the margin the whole way and then just call him and discuss it with him.
He's not going to accept it anyway. You can see his mind is totally washed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know if you heard, overnight there was an Atlanta shooting...
I did. 8 people died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the suspect tells police attacks were not racially motivated, that he was purportedly driven by sex addiction. This was at a massage parlor. So he's 21 years old, may have sex addiction, and he was pissed that these places allow...
happy endings.
Yeah, like provide an outlet for him to succumb to sex addiction temptations. So you get all kinds of fucking weirdos, and sex does make people crazy sometimes, you know? I don't understand.
I think anything anyone's addicted to that they feel out of control makes people crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at like Cuomo right now. He's in so much trouble, again, because of sex, you know? And people, like, throw away everything
they have.
Their
whole careers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, Anthony Weiner at the time and all these people, you know. And you go, you know, how can you not think that it's wrong, you know? How can you think it's okay to just kiss a woman or say things to her or whatever, you know? It's...
like, there's got to be that moment that crosses your mind where you're like, should I? I shouldn't. Or should I? Should I? I shouldn't. And if you're thinking maybe you shouldn't, you probably shouldn't.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good point. People really are so willing to put everything on the line just to, like, what, get laid once?
Right.
Like, come on.
Right. And they must assume that the women would be okay with it, you know, because if they didn't, they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably feel that, if I make a move... she'll probably be okay with it, you know. Not probably, for sure, I'm sure they're doing this, you know.
Yeah.
But so he's in deep trouble now. They're trying to impeach him, so we'll see what happens. But
just keep it in your pants, everyone.
Yeah, exactly,
just
man.
Keep it really tucked away.
You know, it's like men really have to find natural drives, but still, you live in society. You got to be able to control yourself. You know, you don't just do things like animals do, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so that's a situation there. 8 people dead. And I don't know why they're talking about racially motivated.
So, wait, he killed the people that work at the massage parlor.
Oh, it's called Young Asian Massage or
oh,
Young's,
it was an Asian hate crime.
Young's or Jung's Asian massage. Yeah. So that's why they thought it was a racial thing. You know, there's been a lot of apparently a lot of anti-Asian violence and stuff, you know.
A lot of Asian hate crime because of COVID and...
Right, because of China and everything. Yeah. So, which is crazy, you know. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, because Asians come from many different countries.
Yeah.
These are private citizens. And for all you know, they're probably... If they were Chinese, they're... victims of China anyway, you know?
Exactly. I mean, and they were just coming here to get out.
Yeah. Or they've been here before and they got the disease too, you know? So
definitely.
I don't know, man. But
I mean, I think people are just trying to live their lives and survive. And people are assuming. I mean, I feel like it's one of those just like naturally like racial things where people assume, it's kind of like the thing where a lot of people assume like Latin people are all Mexican or Asian people are all Chinese. Like, it's not the case. Right. Like you said, they're from all over the place. They're from everywhere. They're right here. They have families and friends and lives and jobs. And
right.
Yeah.
And when you meet them on a personal level, you don't think the same way, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's important to open up and meet people of different backgrounds, different religions, different nationalities, whatever.
Yeah.
And because once you meet them, they're not as terrible as you think, you know?
No.
They're probably not terrible at all.
You
have families with kids and
and
grandmothers and you know, and all that, you know, so.
Yeah, and we all have different struggles, but a lot of us all have very similar struggles, you know? Core things, dealing with kids and jobs and sadness and unfulfillment and happiness. And, you know, it's like the human experience. I know there's a lot of nuances and a lot of differences from culture to culture, but I think as a baseline, a lot of us are really going through very similar things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. You know, I mean, I just think that there's just a lot of tension right now in this country. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. You know?
Change.
Yeah.
Yeah, change is not easy.
Finally, California theme park, I guess that's Magic Mountain, they're opening up now. So they're hoping to mitigate screaming when when the park's open, like on roller coasters and stuff. So
How are they going to do that?
Well, what that means is I guess they're going to put people social distancing, like, you know, put them apart from each other so when they shout and scream, they don't, like, spin on each other or something, you know. But they're going so fast.
I'm sitting
mean,
in the front row.
Yeah,
that's all I'm
you know?
Saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a backsplash for anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you want to sit in the back then.
No, because then as we're going forward, everything's coming back towards me.
Well... Okay.
Like when people vomit on a roller coaster, it flies back. I don't want to be back there. I'm going to be in the front.
Yeah. I don't know how the virus can be passed when you're going that fast and you're outside, you know. But,
yeah.
But you know, I mean, they're trying to be overly cautious, I guess. And
anything's possible.
Know. Exactly.
Whatever you prepare for, the opposite will happen. That's my rule of thumb.
Yeah, right. But it's going to take a while for life to get back to normal, you know.
Yeah, and, I hope we don't go into another lockdown.
Oh, man. I know.
I'm finally eligible for the vaccine, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So oh, okay.
I'm going to try and do that soon.
I feel I'm going to be, like, the last one to get it because...
I mean, you should be eligible, though.
Why?
Because you had a stroke.
Right.
And... Because you're over, is it over 55 or over 65?
65.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know if because of the stroke, though, they I would qualify, but I can ask.
Yeah.
You know, but I also want to take the Johnson & Johnson one because it's only one shot. I don't want to get two.
No way. I think it's only 72%.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what my mom said. Or was it Pfizer? One of them, I know Moderna is like 98 or 99%.
And Pfizer is too. So it's got to be Johnson & Johnson then. That's less than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Pfizer's a little bit less than Moderna.
Maybe, yeah. But it's working, you know? I mean,
yeah.
In Israel, they're leading as far as per capita. So they've got most of the people immunized already, you know, vaccinated. So they're able to open up things and stuff. And yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if I feel safe getting on a plane yet. You know?
Yeah. I've flown a few times. Right. I definitely had all my PPE on for sure.
Yeah.
I felt okay. It's really the airport. The planes have really good filtration.
I don't know how good it is. I mean, I know people, and I know that I often get sick after flying, you know.
Yeah.
Even before the COVID, so.
It's funny, though. I haven't had a cold in, like,
yeah,
since before the pandemic.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Because we're being careful, I guess, mm-hmm, you know, whatever.
Always having masks on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's great.
Crazy. All right, Jen. Well, this is it for today.
All right.
Thank you to Douglas Wood for calling in.
Thanks,
and,
Douglas.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you on Friday.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.